go ahead and open us up in prayer. Father, we thank you again for today. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to receive your word. And God, I pray that we would never be those that would take it for granted, Lord. You're generous with your word. And God, it's living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide the bone from the marrow and discern the intents and thoughts of the heart, Lord. It's an amazing thing that you've given to us, Lord, a blessing. And so, God, I pray that as we open your word, Lord, we'd open our hearts. And as we open your word, Lord, we'd open up our attention, Lord. I pray that as we open our word, your word, Lord, that you would take away distractions and things that would, Lord, cause us to lose the focus that we have on you. God, we pray that you'd pour out your spirit in a special way today, Lord, and in a unique way that's different from last Sunday and different from next Sunday. And Lord, we pray that as we look at the end times and we wrap up this book of Daniel, Lord, that you would help us to understand things just a little bit more, Lord. I pray that it would be continually a continual area of growth for us, Lord. And Lord, you've given it to us. Lord, let us be faithful with it, Lord. We have the future to look forward to, and you've told us how some things are going to be laid out. So, God, I just ask that you'd minister today to our hearts. Lord, be with the children and the youth, and God, we just pray that there would be an anointing that would fall on this place, Lord, and your presence felt. And we just want to give you our time now, and pray that you'd bless it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, there in Daniel chapter 12, we went through the first four verses last week. This chapter is about the Great Tribulation. This is where Israel is going to be under some incredible warfare. We saw a historical figure, Antiochus Epiphanes, and how he persecuted Israel, how he was a type of the Antichrist. But there's going to be a time where the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And it's not going to be Antiochus Epiphanes. It's going to be the real thing. It's going to be a man that is filled with the spirit of Satan. And we know this. We talked about this in Daniel chapter 9. But this is a period in the middle of the tribulation. He's going to sit on the throne in Israel and say, "I'm God, worship me." And he's going to have, as Revelation 13 says, he's going to have like an image that will be, some believe it will be almost like holographic, almost like alive. But it's not. It's just an image. And he's going to demand worship. And if you don't worship, then you're going to be, some people are going to be put to death. We're going to talk about the mark of the beast. And we've talked about this. We're elaborating a little bit on these as each week goes by. The mark of the beast is needed. It'll be a mark. 666 will be the number on your wrist. Not on your wrist, but on people's wrists or on the forehead. And you know, there's a lot of speculation. I remember in the 80s, it began like the barcoding. And I remember seeing, I think it was Christianity Today, and they had a guy's forehead and it had a barcode on it. And listen, it's not going to be something that's going to be subtle. I'll just tell you that. It's going to be something that's going to be deliberate and willful, where somebody will say, not, "Oh, yeah, I'll take a barcode on my wrist or whatever." It's going to be something deliberate where you have to say, basically, I'll take the mark of the beast. I will subscribe to the team of Satan. And so all of this is kind of being built up and laid up for us. And today we're going to look at three different periods of time that are listed here in Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. And we'll talk about these things. We'll talk about what was going on in Daniel's life. We'll give a few applications as we go through. We'll discuss what the differences in these three different dates are. And then we'll wrap up the book. And as we shared already, next week we'll get into Matthew 24 and we'll see Jesus's opinion and how he's going to elaborate even more on what's going to happen in the end times. So a lot of good stuff. Stay tuned, pay attention. And if you could follow along, I'm going to read verses 5 through 13 and then we'll come back and we'll break it down. I'll tell you what we're teaching on. But last week was the description of the Great Tribulation. Today is the duration of the Great Tribulation. Verse 5 says this: "Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And the one who said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters on the river, 'How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?' Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the Holy Spirit has been completely, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? What shall the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time, from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So this is the last part of the book of Daniel, and he's given some interesting things. We see that he's being told, and we talked about this last week, there's a time just to take what the Lord has given to you, and you close it up, you shut it up, you hold back on sharing. But there's further revelation that God has, even in these last moments of Daniel's book, this period of 1,260 days. This is verses 5 through 10. There's 1,260 days that he's talking about. And so he's given further revelation in verse 5. And he says, I, Daniel, I looked and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and one on that riverbank. Generally, this is believed to be a couple of angels. They're on this side and that side. There's people that are joining him. They're sharing in the revelation of the rest of this vision. What is interesting, too, is that the Mosaic Law, Deuteronomy chapter 19, says that in order for truth to be established, you need two or more witnesses. And so there's Daniel, and he's got a couple of witnesses right there with him as this is all being revealed to him. It's on a riverbank. We talked about this before. I'm just kind of filling in the gaps for you. But in Daniel chapter 10, we see that he was given, this is where it was all initiated at. It was on the river Tigris. So he's sitting there in a place that we've talked about this before. Hopefully you remember this. If not, I'll share with you. But a lot of times it's around a body of water that God is going to begin revealing things. And so we need to be open to the water and the word and the revelation and places where God would say, I want to speak to you. And he's given this vision of the future. Let me back up a little bit before we get to verse 6. Remember this vision that he was given. It was exhausting for him. I believe in the 10th chapter, verse 5, that he was basically fainting. He was sick to his stomach. God was revealing to him what the end would be for Israel, and it was horrific. It's going to be a time like nobody else has ever seen before or since. And so Daniel, he's coming at the end of this, and God has been revealing it to him. It's a great vision. It's the future, but it's going to be tough for Daniel and his people, and it's making him sick, and it's very hard for him to go through. So the conversation continues here in verse 6. And it says, one of these that were on the riverbanks said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? So again, one of the angels begins speaking, and then there's this, if you're picturing this with me, one side you've got an angel on this riverbank, the other side you've got one, and then there's one who's on top of, over the waters, a man clothed in linen. There's some debate on this. Is it an angel or is it Jesus Christ? That's basically the two camps on this. I could see both, and I feel like I could preach that this is Jesus in the beginning right here, and then a little bit later it seems like it's an angel, so I'm not really decided at this point. But it is true that the angel turns to this one who's clothed in linen and says, hey, I've got a question for you. He's seeking wisdom and understanding, just like Daniel is. First thing I want you to notice is that this angel is going to another and saying, I don't know everything. I'm not omniscient. Angels are not omniscient, okay? Important as we talk about angelology, as we study what it is to be an angel and what the Bible says, angels don't know everything. They're created beings. Satan is an angel. He's a fallen angel. He doesn't know everything. He can't read hearts. But this angel says to the man clothed in linen, hey, what's going on? The second thing we notice about this is it's logical. The angels would look to the Lord for the answers on the future. I think we all would like to know what the future holds for us, right? So what does he say? What does this angel say to this man clothed in linen? He says this, he asks this question, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? The angel asks about the future. Well, what wonders is he talking about? Everything that they've been talking about, that we've been studying through, this is about the Antichrist, about the setting up of his kingdom, about the torture, about the persecution of Israel, about his image being worshipped in the temple, about this great conflict that's going to be taking place. This is what he's asking about. When are these things going to take place? So he starts to explain it in verse 7. Daniel's explaining what's going on. He says, then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So now we get into some of the time stamping, the first one that we see here. And we see that it's a time, time and half a time. And so when we see those words, time, times and half a time, is talking about a 3.5 year period. This is a period that we understand to be the last half of the tribulation. This is a within a period that is called Jacob's trouble. It's the great tribulation. It's going to happen in the future. When we get to Matthew 24, verse 21, verse 29, there's going to be a lot more where it's going to be elaborating on this. Matthew 24, 21 says this, for there will be a great tribulation. This is the place that Daniel's been sick about. This is what the angel's asking about. The great tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor will ever be. So we think things are bad. We see people getting going through all these terrible tragedies. It's horrific things happen. And yet during that time, it's going to be a time like nobody else has ever seen before. The Holocaust will pale in comparison. I don't know if you've, and I assume most of you guys have seen the Holocaust, but people just shrunk. Stopped feeding them. Corey Ten Boom, who survived through it, said, I just want to live in this area that's filled with fleas and ticks because the guards won't come in and hassle me. So there is a place where even these people who were surviving it said, I would take the worst in this to be able to survive because they would die, they would take them out, they would gas them, they would put gas and they would light them up. It was horrific. And all of these things are demonically charged. There's going to be a time which is going to make the Holocaust seem like child's play. And it's going to be a man who's going to be filled with the spirit of Satan, as I shared already. He's going to be the Antichrist, and he's going to go after God's people. He's going to absolutely assault God's people with the fury of hell behind him. So in Matthew 24, 21, again, we'll get into this later, but when it says, this is a time like never before, I want you just to feel this. This is Jacob's trouble. Matthew 24, 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. There's going to be a time that it's even the world around us, the universe, we're going to see things, it's not going to look normal. Before we go on, I just want to share with you, I think a lot of people in this world don't pay attention to prophecy. I could tell you this. I think that there are some people that are kind of, really, they give it a bad name. They'll get on TV, they'll say things. Some people will spend their life savings supporting a ministry that will say on October 21st, which is tomorrow, right? I think that, isn't that one of the dates they chose? It's crazy, right? And they put billboards up and they spend millions of dollars to promote when Jesus is going to come back and when the end's going to be. And it's baloney. Nobody knows the day or the time. So you've got these people who have, I think, perverted prophecy. And then we've got a group of people that don't talk about prophecy. If you have the opportunity to talk about prophecy, you jump on it because it's a door-opening tool for us. Pay attention, learn these things. What's going to happen? Everybody wants to know about the future. And I think this world, gives very little heed to the prophecy. What's going to happen in the future? One thing that has struck me when we were studying about American history, it just kind of stood out to me. One of the greatest things that I learned was that there was a change in our nation's history where our nation became more focused on the economy of things rather than the spirituality. And so everything then began, I think it was in like the 1920s or so, there was this radical shift where there was a focus on, well, listen, let's do things so that we're profitable. And so our world has kind of really adopted that. We've been indoctrinated into that. Like, listen, the decisions that we want our president to make need to be ones that are financially beneficial for our country. And that's the standard. If our president is successful financially, then he's a good president. In reality, if our president is a good president, he's going to seek God and put God first. I meant to share this. I don't know if it was last Sunday or on Wednesday. I can't remember. I remember I came down. I'm like, I totally forgot. I think it was last Sunday. I forgot to, and pardon my introduction, I forgot to say, we need godly leadership. We really need good leadership in this nation. And we need godly leadership. We are headed into some times that are just going to get harder and darker and more wicked. And the church needs to rise to the occasion for these opportunities. We need to be ready for these opportunities. We need to be ready when we talk to people to tell them, hey, listen, I'm telling you, what you're doing falls in line in the wicked area of what God says is yet in our future. Stop what you're doing. Repent. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Know that you're going to go to heaven. We need to be equipped as evangelists. We need to be equipped with the word. Make sure you're participating on Wednesdays. We're going through what it means to be a Christian. I mean, how do you grow as a Christian? You invest yourself. Pay attention, learn, and then look for the opportunities. Pray for the opportunities, and then be that vessel that God will use. It is going to be fierce. One of the Greek words for fierce in the Bible, it talks about the last times that it's going to be a fierce time. The Greek word is chalepas, and it means it's going to be demonic. It's going to be fierce. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to be sensational. I just want you to understand, listen, we've got a great opportunity. Every single day we've got an opportunity to preach the gospel to people, and we've got the truth. And we don't just have the truth, but we've got the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, study prophecy, learn prophecy. Use it as a tool, as an instrument, as a stepping stone to get the people to the next point. I believe that we're going to be raptured before the 7 years of tribulation. That's where I stand at. It's a secondary issue, but I feel pretty strongly about that. And I feel like we've already covered through that. And everything fits for that. If that's true, church, if that's true, that the rapture happens before the 7 years of tribulation, that means during the tribulation, we won't be here to preach the gospel. To those we hate, to those we love, to those we're family with, we will have missed our opportunity. And it may not bother you right now, but when you're standing before the Lord and He being the truth, you and I are going to weep at the wasted opportunities. That's for us. We're gonna stand before the Lord and go, man, I wish I would have taken advantage of this. So the whole area of prophecy, what a rich, rich area. What an absolutely astounding area. And you know, everybody wants to know about the future. If you went to the gas station on your way home and you're pumping gas and you see somebody on the other side of the gas pump and you tell them, hey, you know what the future holds for you? Like, anytime you talk about future, they might think you're a little weird, but anytime you talk about the future, people's ears perk up because everybody wants to know the future, and people are fascinated by it. And we've got people in the National Enquirer in these rags, and you know what they do? They predict the future. Come December, they're going to have the predictions for 2020, and they're liars, and they don't have the truth, and they don't have Christ, and we do. We've got the truth. We've got the word of God. We've got the gospel. We've got Jesus Christ. And what we have to share matters. And we've got prophecy. So when we see these words time, times, and half a time, it's talking about, it's referring to 1260 days. He's talking about 3.5 years. The Antichrist is going to come in. We've talked about this. I'm laying it up again. It's overlapping, so we learn this. The Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to say, listen, I've got peace. Listen, we don't have peace in our world right now, and our world is desperately looking for peace because people hate each other. And in that neck of the woods, over in the Middle East, they kill each other. In that neck of the woods, you've got a group of people that will put their kids out where the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews, will send their bombs to protect themselves, and they'll put their own kids out and let them kill. They'll film it, and then they turn around and say, look at it, see what the Jews are doing? They're killing kids. They're jeopardizing the lives of their children. Like, we got a messed up world. And there's going to be a guy who's going to come on the scene, and he's, again, filled with the spirit of Satan, and he's going to have answers that we haven't seen before. And he's going to be a great orator. And he's going to be charismatic and dynamic. He's going to have the answer, supposedly, for peace. And he's going to make a treaty there in the Holy Land. And all of a sudden, there's going to be peace in the land. And people are going to be like, how did he do that? You know, the Muslims are worshiping over here. The Jews are worshiping. Oh my gosh, now they're getting along. At least not fighting. They're not killing each other. And they'll take full credit for it. Then right in the middle point, we talked about this, the abomination of desolation. You guys know that. That's when he's going to set up his throne, right? He's going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. He's going to say, I'm God. Revelation 13, we're going to get to that. Again, puts up the image. He says, you need to worship me. You need to worship this image. And he's going to just sit there and say, worship me, I'm God. And if you don't, by the way, you're going to get it. That's the middle point of the Great Tribulation. 1260 days will follow. And he's going to assault the Jews. He's just going to make it, because there's going to be a group of Jews who are going to say, wait a second, this is not right. We talked about it last week. There's going to be a group of people. There's going to be a group of Jews who are going to say, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of here really fast. And they're going to go off into the wilderness to the rock city of Petra. Remember we talked about that? We showed the pictures last week. Or the week before, we had watched a movie last week. The week before, we looked at Petra. There's a place that you get to, at least back then, you could only get to by going through this channel. And then they created, like, they chiseled out this thing, like, with columns, and it's a beautiful thing. And then inside, they had people. The Jews are going to go in there, and there's going to be a water supply, and they're going to have food, and God is going to protect them there. If you wanted to do further study, you could tie that all into Christ. Now, when we go into Christ, how we go into the ark, we're safe from, you know, the world. And are you getting this? Do you understand all this? Listen, if you don't, it's okay. Neither did Daniel. He didn't understand all these things. I mean, we're thousands of years ahead of him, right? But he didn't totally get it either. So listen to what he does. How does he respond? How should we respond? Let's look at what Daniel does in verse 8, and let's consider, maybe it's something we should do as well. So Daniel says in verse 8, although I heard, he says, I did not understand. I heard everything that was being spoken to me, but I just didn't get it. Then I said, my Lord, what shall the end of these things? Daniel probes to understand better. That's exactly what we should do. Listen, have you ever read a passage and you're like, I have no idea what that is. I don't know what they're talking about. I remember the first time I read through the Bible and I was going through the law and I'm like, you know, got to Leviticus and I'm like, I don't know. They got all these ceremonial laws and sacrifices and I don't know why they're doing it. And why can't you do this? And then it was, got, you know, more Deuteronomy, just law, 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 and all these different ones, and they didn't seem to really necessarily totally be connected, and I just didn't get it, and I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm just going to keep studying through and get it in my heart, and then at any time, he could just pull it out. Once I get the word in my heart, that was the first time. Once you get it, Lord, you can pull that out at any time. It's in there, and I took 2 years to read through the Bible, and I remember it was investment. And if I read through and I was started to, like, daydream, I was very strict. That was the only time that I've ever read this way through the Bible, where if I started reading and I started thinking about Taco Tuesday, Taco Wednesday night, you know, Taco night, then I'm like, wait a second, you got distracted, go back. And I go back to where I remember reading last, and I was very, very strict and deliberate because I wanted to make sure it was in here. I want a foolproof thing. I'm going to focus on you. I may not understand it, but you know what I did in that Bible? I wrote a lot of questions. I had pages of paper that I would write questions, but in the margins, I'd say, what does this mean? What about this? What about that? What about this? And I realized some of these may never be answered. Some of these might be answered later. Some of these I may never go back to. But I was asking the question, what does this mean? And that's what Daniel's saying. I'm hearing all this stuff. I just don't know what it means. Listen, this is not uncommon for the Old Testament prophets. God would be giving them the future, and he'd be telling them, here's a prophecy, and he'd be sharing. And they would say, I know word for word what he's saying. I hear, I understand what you're saying. I just don't know what it means. Peter wrote of this. If you're taking notes, we're not going to go there. But if you're taking notes, write down 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Peter wrote about this, and he said that this was fascinating and intriguing to angels. And along with the gospel, they didn't understand why would God invest in man? And why would the prophets, in these verses it says that the prophets would be given these prophecies, the Old Testament prophets would be given these prophecies, and they would search, they would seek them out. What is the answer to all of this? And he says that the angels would look into these things, and they would scratch their heads, they would be fascinated. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. In verse 12, he says they looked into it. That word for looked is the Greek word parakoupto. Parakoupto means to stoop, to look at a thing, to inspect curiously, to become acquainted with. It talks about, it's a good way to explain, that a person who would be parakouptoing something would be looking at all the little tiny parts to understand the whole. And so these angels would be looking at all these little things like, why is God, these people don't even love him. They don't act like, they don't worship him. We worship him all the time. And God just keeps trying and trying and trying. And they would be fascinated with that. And then they'd be fascinated. Look at these people. These prophets are given this stuff. They don't even understand. And then they seek and they search the Lord out for the answers. So Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was explaining what Daniel's going through in all of this. This parakoupto. It's a posture of those who are dedicated to get to the bottom of something. Peter recognized this posture as stooping. It literally means stooping and stretching the neck. You know, it's a funny thing. I learned this. I don't like sales. I was just telling somebody I don't like sales. Did sales. One of the things that I learned when I was working at Bally's Home, it was a Bally's Fitness, I think it was what it was called. And I was going from being a trainer to a sales guy, right? And one of the things they said in the sales is that you can make people feel comfortable or more like focused depending on how your body posture is. So what you do is you get the contract and you turn around, you begin reading and you lean in. And as you're leaning in, they start to lean in. Very manipulative. I'm like, wow, people do that. And before they told me this, they did that to me and I leaned in. And then they said, and then what you do after you do this, you want them to be rocks, so you kick back, you kind of do this. And they did that to me, and I leaned in, and then I leaned back like, yeah, that's pretty comfortable, you know? And they said, do you see what happens? Listen, when somebody's really interested in something, they lean in a lot of times. And this is the posture that Peter is talking about. It's stooping, and this word parakoupto means to stoop and to stretch the neck to gaze on something wonderful. I want you to understand this. I want you to hopefully say the same thing, that this is commendable to search and to seek understanding of the great things that God gives us. The gospel, Jesus Christ, our salvation, prophecy. Lean in. Stretch your neck, gaze upon it. It's something that's wonderful. And that's what Daniel's doing. And that's what Peter was talking about. Listen, if you're taking notes mentally, I don't think you necessarily need to take this, but next week, when we get to our study next week, we're going to see in Matthew 24, verse 3, Jesus Christ is talking about the last things. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And in verse 3, his disciples come to him, as they often did when he would break away from the crowds, when it was just the 12, 13 of them. They would come to him and they would say, what were you talking about? They had this private teacher, Jesus Christ. I mean, it is fascinating. 3 years they walk with him, and they could ask him questions at any time. And they ask him, and we're going to get to this in verse 3, and they say, What is the sign of your coming? What is the sign of these end times? Can you lay it out? And then the rest of the chapter is going to be laying out, here's what the signs are. And he's going to tell, here's how you know the end is coming. So what Daniel is asking here, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things, is an appropriate question to ask. And it's something that we should be doing. It's something that the disciples did. It's something that the Old Testament prophets did. It's something that Peter talked about. And now he's given further directions in verse 9. And so he says to Daniel, he says, Daniel, go your way, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end, till the time of the end. Go your way. What's the instruction that Daniel's given? Go your way. Go about your business. Listen, he's over 80 years old at this time. Notice the instruction he's given is not, you know what, go and rest. And we're going to see this, I think, the second to last verse of our chapter. He's not saying go and rest, go take kick your feet up and kick back. No, go about your business. Go your way. Go do your thing. I believe this, and it may be a little bit preachy, and maybe it preaches from the pulpit, but I would say this. When God's done using us, we're going to die. That's kind of when we're done, we're done, and it'll be over. Until then, he wants to use us. Whether we're willing to align with that or not, that's between you and the Lord. That's between me and the Lord. But I will say this. I believe when our life ends, that person's done. Their serving's over. But until then, we can still serve him. And that's what Daniel's being told. Listen, Daniel, because he's like, how will I know about this? Listen, just you do you, right? You do your thing. He says, the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Pastor Robert, you ask, when's the end coming? When are you going to wrap this book up? We're waiting for it. Are you gonna finish anytime soon? I'm gonna finish today. It's near, but not yet. In the ancient world, what they would do is they would take transcripts of things. They would make two transcripts, and one would be sealed, closed off, kept safe, and then they would leave the other one for research and review and reading. And so what God is intending here, and I want you to understand the context here, when God says, I'm closing this up, I'm sealing it up, what he's doing is saying, he's not saying, I don't want my people, I don't want the world to know about these things. What he's saying is, keep it secure. Keep the original draft. But my intent is that my people would treasure this and protect it and share it amongst one another. The context of the sealing is in the sense of being understood. Listen, you'll understand it. It'll be opened up in the time of the end. All of this stuff will make sense. Listen, there's further revelation that we can't get to today because we're just not there. But wait, things are happening. Ironically, the book of Daniel has been partly revealed and partly opened up, partly unsealed in the revelation that God gave to John. And John 22:10, the Lord says to him, an angel said to him, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So Daniel was said, you seal it up. John said, hey, don't seal it up, man. Release it. Before we go to the last couple verses, I want to share a couple things and share an insight and then an application. Real quickly, a quick insight. I think a fairly quick application. Get your pencils and pens ready. Did you notice Daniel was not told to throw away what was given to him just because he didn't fully understand it? That's what I was saying. Sometimes you're going to read through stuff. You're going to be taught stuff in the Word, and you might not totally grasp it. Don't throw it away. Hold on to it. Wait. It's still coming. There's the Lord's giving us information, revelation, visions, prophecy, his word, and there's going to be time. There's going to be a time where God's going to give understanding, but don't throw it up. Listen, here's a passage I want you to write down. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Make sure you write that down. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. This is where Elisha was prophesying to King Jehoshaphat. When he did this, there was a drought. There had been no rain. And the king said, Elisha, what should we do? And he says, I want you to go dig ditches. Can you imagine, like, if we haven't had rain all summer, it's been 100 plus degrees, and you ask me something, I'm like, go and dig, just go out in the front yard and in the back and just dig ditches. You'd be like, we're already dying of thirst here. What do you want us to dig in this hot summer heat? Yeah, just dig ditches. Just keep digging ditches. Keep digging ditches. So the king probed a little bit. Well, why would we do this? He says, when the rains come, they'll fill these ditches and you'll have your water. And sure enough, they did come and they did fill those ditches and the nation did have water. Listen, when you approach the word of God, you dig ditches. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it seems fruitless. I don't know why I'm digging this out. I don't get it. I don't see anything. I'm hot. It's a sweat. And you just keep digging. And then at a certain point, then the water, the water of the word begins to fill it up. And your understanding is increased. And you receive that. And you understand it. And now you possess it. Just because prophecy doesn't make sense, don't throw it away. Hold on to it. Wait, because it's going to come. Verse 10, we see a final outcome. It says, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So we see this contrast. The wicked will keep acting as such. They're just going to continue to be wicked. But the wise, it says that they'll have an understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says that unless a man, unless a woman, unless a human being has the Spirit of God, they cannot understand spiritual things. So we, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we have this incredible blessing of having the Holy Spirit, because now we can have understanding. It doesn't mean we're going to understand everything, but we can understand spiritual things. I don't know if you've ever had those situations where it just makes sense. And people of the world are like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do something like it? Because it's right. Why would you not have premarital sex? Because it's bad. Because God says, don't do it. Yeah, but it feels good. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season, but its end is destruction. That's what God told me to do. I'll throw a little tangent application. Of all people, God's people should look different. Sometimes that may look kind of quirky to the world, but I'll tell you this. In time, there should be a great difference in the way that the Christians look. There should be a light. There should be a glow. The Bible says that when we look to the Lord, we become radiant. There should be a wholesome holiness, a righteousness that comes upon a Christian, and it should be contrasted with those that are wicked in the world. You should have the most beautiful person, the supermodels or the actors and actresses, and next to us, we could just look ordinary, there should be something dramatically different. And just give it time. Just give it time. Time's a great equalizer. And you will find that those who serve God, who love God, there's something that happens to them. They get understanding. It says here, what's going to happen to those who are going to be saved? They're going to be purified. It means they're going to be purged. They're going to go through a polishing. You know, polishing, it can be painful. They're going to be made white. White is the emblem of purity and innocence. And they're going to be refined as through a fire. Our faith is refined through a fire. Listen, it doesn't mean it's going to be an easy life. A lot of times it's going to be a lot more traumatic. But the end is we're going to be purified and made white and refined. And there's going to be something different. There's going to be a purity about us. And there is something, listen, people see it. They see it. They see it in us. They see it in our faces. And they should see it in our actions. They should hear it in our words. Let me be perfectly clear with you. It's a process and it's painful for a believer to go through. And we've talked about that. And so what we've tried to encourage over the years here is, you know, embrace it as much as you can. As painful it is, embrace the tough times. Embrace that refinement. When God stokes up the flame that you're going through, you know what? You bear through it because you know that the impurities, the dross is coming to the surface and it's going to be wiped away. And what you're going to be left with is a more pure vessel. And you wait and see if it's not true that in due time you're going to have opportunities to minister through this tough time to people who are going through the same tough time. The final outcome, church, is that it's worth it. And you'll go through the tough times and you'll say, I don't want to go back. And it was painful. But you'll say, listen, if you really got through that, not if you don't go through it, you may not be able to say this. But if you go all the way through it, and for those of you who have gone through it, you know what I'm saying, because you'll say, it was worth it. It was painful. I don't want to go do it again. But I would. If God wanted that for me, I'll go through it again, because the final outcome is I'm going to be purified and made white and refined. That's the first of three that we're going to look at today. Verse 11, there's another period, 1290 days. These ones will be quicker for us, obviously. Verse 11, read with me, follow along. And it says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Some of this, again, you've already heard me talk about this. Matthew 24, 15, it's going to be a time, it's going to be a horrendous time. It's going to be the Great Tribulation. This is the final timing. So when we see that word from, there's a timestamp. Well, from what? From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up. That's the middle point, right? From that point, it's going to be 1,290 days. What things are going to take place? It's the middle of the tribulation. It's the last half of the tribulation. The last 3.5 years, the second half. So go with me on this, right? If we're staying in context here, how long is 3.5 years? 1,260 days. How many days are being mentioned right here? 1,290 days. And it's different. Why is there a 30-day gap? It could be possibly that there's a regathering. Listen, to some degree, I'll tell you what I think, and to some degree, we'll try and piece the scriptures together, and to some degree, we'll be honest, I don't know. If you're taking notes, Ezekiel 20, Matthew 25 talk about this as possibly a regathering of all the Jews that have been under the persecution of the Antichrist. That seems to fit best. And so after the tribulation period, there's going to be that regathering, that 30-day gap. Most conservative commentators believe that the 30-day lapse is a time when Jesus will, also during this time, Jesus will judge the Gentiles and the Jews that survived the Great Tribulation. The judgment determines who will enter the millennial reign of Christ. Not who's going to heaven, but who's going to stay on earth for 1,000 years. Listen, again, if you're taking notes, and I want you to do this, this is very, very critical. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, it gives the answer. Do you know what the criteria of this judgment will be? Matthew 25, 31 through 46 will give it to you. I'm not going to have time to read through it, okay? I feel like I'm already going, pushing the time a little bit here. But this is the one criteria. This judgment, according to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, this is the one criteria that judgment during that 30-day period will be upon. And that is, how did you treat my brethren? How did you treat the Jews? That one criteria. God says, I'm going to judge the world for whether you treated my people good or bad. Listen, I'm so glad that our president supports Israel. It is a wise move. Regardless of what you think, it's a wise move, and it receives God's blessing. He blesses those. Genesis 12:3, I bless those who bless my people. Abraham, it's a promise I'm giving to you. If you're blessed, the Abrahamic people, the Hebrews, the Jews, then God says, I'm going to bless those who bless you. In that passage, again, we probably could have read through and gone through this just as quick, but I want you to understand this, and it's very important that it talks about there's this group of people that don't take care of the Jews, and they're called goats. Very interesting. If you're making the connections, it's fascinating. The ones who do take care of the Jews are called sheep. This judgment will divide the sheep from the goats. Goats are biblically understood to be non-believers. Believers should always, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded to do so. Support our president when he does that. This is a good thing. When he says, Jerusalem, this is your capital, then I'm all for it. That's a good decision. Support Israel. Verses 12 and 13. This is the third period. This is 1,335 days that we're talking about here. Follow along as I read. It says, "Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days, but you go your way till the end. For you shall rest, and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." So there's a definite finality to choice. And it's a timestamp that he's talking about here. That other timestamp is the 1,335 days. That's another 45 days of where we were just talking about. This is at this point, the Battle of Armageddon has taken place. The temple has been cleared of the image of the Antichrist that he set up to be worshipped. The judgment of those who go into the 1,000-year reign will be completed. This is all taking place here. The extra 45 days. And he says, those who make it to this point, he says, blessed are those people. They're blessed or they're right. And then the final thing we'll go through this morning is that then Daniel is told here in verse 13, but you, Daniel, go your way. What he's saying is, Daniel, you're going to die. You have this to look forward to. Listen, every one in one dies. Every single human being that is born will die without fail. But he says this right after. He says, but you're going to arise. Do you guys see that? I believe this is a little picture of the resurrection. Do you see that? But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest. Daniel, you're going to die, but you will arise in your to your inheritance at the end of the days. In other words, listen, you've got a whole future ahead of you in eternity, and you're going to arise for this. You're going to get a better vantage point than what you have now. The questions you have, Daniel, you're going to be given understanding. You're going to see the future. You're going to understand the future. You're going to be a part of the future. That's what we have to look forward to as well, as we've been grafted into that tree, the tree of Israel, that branch. We have that same future to look forward to, and it's going to be good. And no matter how bad it gets, no matter how intense it gets, no matter how much the warfare intensifies for us, because it does intensify, doesn't it? I shared with you, it's been a rough season. The warfare intensifies, but just wait it out. Just wait. Stick it out. Things are going to get better. We have to have hope. We have to have faith. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but we have to. So take the prophecy that you're learning. Be wise with it. Be those that would be wise in the word of God with prophecy. Share it with me. Tell people, hey, you know what the future holds? I'm telling you, it's a door opener for preaching the gospel. Listen, there's going to be one that he's going to be the Antichrist, and he's going to sit on the throne, and you just regurgitate it, and people are like, really? I think I heard something about that. Yeah, the mark of the beast. You talk about the mark of the beast. People are like crazy interested in that. And you tell them, listen, the end of those that do that are going to go to hell, but I give you the opportunity to get a different mark. The Bible talks about those that are sealed in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? Let's do that right now. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior right here and now, because everybody sins, but Jesus forgives us. He paid the price up on the cross. Polish that. Find a creative way to share that, and then go and preach it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, Lord. Thank you for the book of Daniel. God, I pray that this has honored you, Lord, as you gave me the instruction, Lord, to share application from the book of Daniel. Lord, I pray that there's been, Lord, not an overload or not an overwhelming amount, but I pray that it's been, and I know that it has been ample and abundant, and you've been generous, Lord. I pray that the applications that we've seen in the life of Daniel, and the writing of the book of Daniel, Lord, that we would hold on to these things. God, I pray that there would be things that would be writing on our hearts. Lord, whether we use it today or this week or this year or in the future, Lord, draw it back, Lord, to help us and to be glorified in. Lord, I pray that you be glorified in every aspect of our lives. Lord, would you help us to accomplish that? God, as we continue on studying through these end times, Lord, thank you that you're outside of time. Lord, thank you that you're the creator of all. And Lord, I pray that we would take our joy and our confidence in that, Lord. Thank you that you control time and everything within it, Lord. So, God, we love you and we praise you, and we pray that you would take these things that we've learned from this book, write them on our hearts, help us to live them out for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.